Now it's good to be back at Leven again. I always find I'm coming among friends when I come to Leven. We had happy times when we used to come to a caravan and spend the summer with the brothers and sisters here. I'm glad to be back again. Now I want to read a few verses from the Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 1. The Epistle to Hebrews, chapter 1. And we'll read at the first verse. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which had first begun to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? Now we're going to sing another hymn, hymn number 390. 390. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all the healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Hymn number 319 will sing the first and the third and the last verse standing to sing. I'd like to speak to you tonight in the gospel about God speaking to men and to listen to what God has got to say. We read about God in times past spoke. It's good if you're in the meeting tonight, not so much to listen to the speaker, but to listen to the voice of God. And if you're in the meeting, whether you're a Christian or not, and listen to the voice of God, you'll never be the same again. God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to everyone in the meeting, and he's going to speak to you about his Son. There's no greater message that men and women can hear is the gospel message of God who's speaking about his Son. I often think that gospel preachers would do good to read Hebrews chapter 1. For this is the gospel message. It is God's gospel message to men and women. And to me this is the divine pattern that every gospel preacher from every platform should speak. God speaking to men and to women and to young people. In this chapter which we have read, God tells us about the last days. It's in these last days. Now we're living, I believe, in the last days. Those who study prophecy from the Bible no doubt can tell you that we're living in the past days. It won't be long until God's going to intervene, when the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon a cross and was buried and raised again, he's going to come back. And he's going to take every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ back to heaven. That's what the Bible says. And when after that happens, things are going to take place. It won't be a nation. It won't be a world in which those who are left behind will want to live in. God's going to start. And the Lord Jesus, who sits upon the throne, is going to judge this world that has rejected Christ as a king and their saviour. I want to tell you tonight, in times past, God has spoken, and He's spoken to men and women about the last days. Other apostles speak about the last days. Paul in 1 Timothy 2 says, in the last days, perilous times will happen. Difficult, fierce times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers. Can I tell you, can you recognize it? In this terrible world, we're living in the last days. Peter speaks about it in his epistles. And this is the last days, there will be scoffers. Where is the promise of His coming? Things are going the same. God's never intervened. Christ has never come back. And they're living in a material world where there's famine and fear. Speaks about the last days. In the last days again, He speaks about that the heavens declare, creation has spoken, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth has shown forth His handiwork. I tell you, God's going to intervene. And if you're in this meeting tonight, whether it's for the first time or the last time, one thing that must be impressed upon your mind, God wants to tell you that one day, He's going to intervene in the last days. But in this chapter, He speaks about the last message. The greatest message that ever fell on man and woman. He speaks about His Son, who being in the form of God. He tells us He's the brightness of His glory. He upholds all things by the word of His power. He's telling us about the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you tonight, there's never been a person like Him. And there never will be a person like Him. God wants to speak to you about the glories and the loveliness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no other person, and there's no other message. A lot of great men has lived, and an awful lot of great preachers have stood in the platforms. A lot of people who you knew, but none have come to be compared with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be political, religiously, or whatever it may be, they may reach to the very top rung of the ladder, but cannot be compared with the beauty and the glory and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to speak to you tonight about His Son, the one that was born in Bethlehem's manger. We think about Him at Christmas time. The one who came down into the world from heaven. I have come down from the Father, He says. And He came down as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. The one who walked this scene. And everybody that looked upon Him. The miracles that He did. His hands out in blessing to men and women and to children too. And the hands of blessing. And yes, God wants to speak to you about the loveliness of His Son. But He wants to speak to you about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, when He purged our sins. Do you know anything about that? When He put away our sins. Calvary's cross is the central theme of every gospel message. There's no gospel without it. There's no remedy without it. Your sins can never be cleansed apart from the cross of Christ. It happened at Calvary's cross. Men took him. God's only Son, God's provision for you and me, men took him, and they took him, and they hanged him upon a cross. They spat upon his face. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. They nailed him to a cross. Why was he nailed to a cross? Because he was saving my soul. And I like to think that when his legs hung upon the cross, his blood was shed. Oh yes, I make no apology for speaking about the blood of the Lord Jesus. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're in your sins, the only way that that sins can be forgiven, the only way that that sins can be cleansed, is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, says the Bible, cleanses from all sin. I'm tired listening to gospel messages without the blood. Many places, many halls, yes, many gospel halls tonight, and there are men standing on the platform, and I'm not telling people about the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and there's no gospel without it. There's no hope without it. There's no cleansing without it. You cannot be cleansed apart from the blood of Christ. There's no gospel like it. The Bible speaks about it. It's incorruptible. It's precious. It's valueless. And if you're in a meeting tonight, whether you're saint or sinner, the only one in the meeting tonight, the only person in the meeting tonight that can be right with God is to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes. We can point the finger, of course. We know Christians who say that they're saved. And they don't live the life that they should be. I know that people who go to church or chapel or gospel hall and they don't live the life that they should be. They claim that their sins are shed through being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Every one of us is still sinners. Some of us have been saved. Some of us have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I like what John says. John says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all our sins. John, he says this, he says it continuous. It's not only a time when you came to Christ as your personal Savior, and you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, and you felt you were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Satan's going to be after you, you know. And sometimes Satan wins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth, and cleanseth again, and again, and again, and again. And every time you sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth you from all sin. Satan will attack. Now sometimes think of that word in Romans chapter 14 that says, that he's the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes I think he goes up to the throne of God and remember he mentions my name. From the very throne of God, as he cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes he may say something about me that I have done that I should have never done. I thought that I should never have done. And Satan is rejoicing about it. And he goes to the very throne of God and he's going to accuse me. On the very throne of God it will be saying, he's been cleansed, he's been forgiven, he's been pardoned by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. You see, if you say it tonight, you'll never be lost. If you come to Christ as your personal Savior, he will purge you from your sin. He purges you. He cleanses you. He'll make you different. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you new ambitions in life. You'll be right with God. This Bible will become to you a living reality. And you'll realize that Satan will be after you. You go home tonight and say, well, I got saved in the gospel hall here at Leiden. You'll be rejoicing. You'll waken up tomorrow morning and there'll be a voice. Satan will be after you. No doubt about that. Satan will tell you it didn't really happen. And it can't happen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you and cleanse me from every sin. And I'm happy about that, because when I get to heaven, what am I going to sing about? I'm going to sing about the blood of the Lamb. And every one of us will save. Every one of us who come to know Christ as our personal Savior is going to surround the throne. The Bible says an innumerable amount of thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 is going to surround the Savior. The Lamb that died at Calvary's cross. They're going to a newly slain Lamb, freshly slain, and they're going to sing. And what are they going to sing? They're going to sing about the blood of the Lamb. Not about my good works. Not about my religion. They're going to sing about the blood of the Lamb who's redeemed us to God by his own blood. By his own blood. And that's the song we're going to sing. The leading people can sing. And I love to come and listen to the singing. But there's going to be a day they're going to say, you haven't had happy times recently. The man used to sit there the last time I was here and he's not here now. Gone. But he's waiting. And we're waiting. And we're waiting for the shout. And we're going to go to heaven. And we're going to surround the Lamb that died upon Calvary's cross. Men went away that day and said, that's the finish. God says, it's only begun. And he rose from the dead. This is the message that God wants to speak to you about his Son. About his Son. And do you know anything about it? Are you glad that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth from every sin? I am. I am. For every thought that's sinful, for every action that we do, for everything that we do that we shouldn't, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us and cleanseth us cleanseth us again and again and again from every sin. God says, I want to speak to you about him. No wonder if he's speaking to anybody in the meeting tonight. You're sitting there in your sin. And he wants to cleanse you of your sin by his precious blood. And he wants you to take it to heaven. To sing a song that's waiting to begin. Oh, I love to think about it. They haven't started to sing that song yet. They can't sing it until I'm there. They can't sing it until you're there. You'll be washed in the blood of the Lamb, but they're going to wait until you come. They're going to wait till I be there. And when people see me walking about in Aberdeen and see you walking about here, you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know the song in heaven hasn't begun. The song of heaven is waiting till you arrive. The song of heaven is waiting till I go. And once we're all there, everyone that's been born again, everyone that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, when we're all there, an innumerable amount of people is going to be there, from every tribe, from every nation, from every colour, and they're going to surround the Lamb, and we're going to start a song in heaven that the angels are waiting to hear. And it's going to be about the blood of the Lamb. God wants to speak to you about his son. Then he goes on and he says, Therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things that we have spoken, lest at any times we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels are steadfast in every transgression and disobedience receive the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's not a popular gospel message when you speak about judgment, is it? If you're in a meeting tonight and you're not washed by the blood of the Lamb, you're going to meet it. You're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ whether you want to or not. You're going to stand before him as your Savior, and you're going to stand before him as your judge. You're going to begin this new song that we're waiting to sing. Or you're going to be cast out, as the Bible says, and you're going to be cast out into the lake of fire. You're going to be judgment. You're going to be judged if you're not saved. You're going to be judged if your sins aren't cleansed. And you're going to stand before him, and whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's just what the Bible says. He won't sing the song that we'll sing. It says that you'll be cast out. And it won't be a song. It will be a sob. Where there'll be weeping. Where there'll be wailing. Where men and women who've had an opportunity to trust Christ as their personal Savior, you're going to be dealt with. With what you heard at the gospel meeting and leaving time and time again, you're going to be judged. For you did not accept Christ as your personal Savior. How shall you escape, it says. Where can you go for refuge? How can you get to heaven once it's too late? The Bible says it's forever and forever. God wants to speak to you tonight. He wants to cleanse you. He wants you to come to Christ. Accept Christ as a personal Savior. I've seen it happen. Seen it happen in gospel meetings like this. I've seen men and women coming, staying behind. I've seen the tears. accept your mother, going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and to serve Him for the rest of your life? I'm ready for the answer. Then they would say yes. I said, just tell the Lord Jesus about it. There's one in the meeting tonight. You want your sins cleansed? Just tell the Lord Jesus about it. He's waiting and He wants you to tell Him that you're going to trust Him. He wants Him to serve you. You want Him to cleanse you from your sins. And you're going to serve Him for the rest of your life. Do you do that? The Lord bless His word to all our hearts. Now we're going to sing another hymn. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His gracious hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We'll stand and we'll sing the whole hymn, 171. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy divine grace, and that Thou, from the very courts of heaven, Thou hast spoken to us in Thy lovely Son. We thank Thee for the loveliness and the glory that we've seen in Him while He traversed the scene. We've been visiting the cross tonight, and we think of redemption, redemptive work that was carried out there. We thank Thee that He was raised from the dead, and Thou hast given Him glory. We pray if anyone in the meeting tonight that know not Christ as their personal Savior, will come to Him tonight and find rest and peace, and has their sins washed in the blood of the Lamb. We pray a parting blessing now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.